Our gospel reading comes from Luke chapter 1, and in this passage we hear Mary's song. And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but he has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, even as he said to our fathers." We give thanks to God for his word. I invite you to be seated. Our church has been doing some fun things together, both inside and outside of worship over the summer. Outside of worship, we've been having some fun with serving. We desire for our surrounding communities to experience the love of God through the hands of this church. And toward that end, we've challenged everyone in Good Shepherd to serve in the community at least one time between July 6th and September 9th. The goal is to have 2,020 people participate. My family's been having fun with this challenge. A few weeks ago, we got to serve alongside the Naperville Police as they hosted a benefit event for the Special Olympics. It was a great event. Now our small group has plans to bring worship music to a local assisted living facility. We're having fun with this challenge. I hope you're able to have fun with it too. There are only a few more weeks until September 9th. And once you've served, we ask you to do two things. First thing is sign a hand. Out in the narthex, there are tables with these cards on them. Write your name on one of the hands and put it in the bucket, and we'll add your hand to the serving in the summer wall located outside of our cafe. The second thing we ask you to do is share your story. On the homepage of our website, there's a link where you can tell us your story. By signing a hand and sharing your story, you're not only helping us track progress, but you're also helping us celebrate what God is doing in and through our church. So hopefully you can participate and join in the fun. And the fun doesn't stop there. While we've been having fun outside of worship with serving, our church is having fun inside of worship with singing. Our sermon series is titled, "Then Sings My Soul." We have a rich heritage of wonderful songs that fuel our faith and feed our souls. So far in this series, we've explored some of the favorite hymns of old, like "Amazing Grace," "When Peace Like a River," "Jesus Christ, Lord of Creation." Well, today we're going to mix things up a little bit with a new challenge. I hope you have fun with this challenge too. The challenge comes directly from our scripture passage in Psalm 96. The author writes, "Sing to the Lord a new song." Old songs are great. There have been a lot of wonderful songs written throughout history. We can celebrate this rich heritage. At the same time, God's word challenges us to sing a new song to the Lord, to create new songs that give a fresh expression of what's going on in our soul. Think about the classic hymn, "How Great Thou Art." The refrain repeats, "Then sings my soul." Although now that song's an old song, it was originally written in 1885, at one point it was a new song, right? A fresh expression from the soul. God's word challenges each and every one of us to sing a new song, to give a fresh expression from our soul. At the end of the message today, I'm going to challenge all of you to write a new song to the Lord. I recognize some of you are going to be excited and eager to take this challenge, while others might be a little more apprehensive. You might not think of yourself as the creative songwriting type. You might doubt that you're able to do this, or even doubt the significance of such an exercise. No matter how you feel about this challenge, I just ask that you hang with me. Because in the message, we're going to see from Scripture that this is something we all can do, and it's something we all need to do. Singing a new song to the Lord helps us practice two important elements of faith that don't always come naturally for us: praying and proclaiming. Join together in prayer. Gracious God, we come here today from all sorts of different places, with all sorts of different things on our minds and on our hearts. So we ask you to do what only you can do. Reach us where we're at. Transform us by your grace, so that none of us leave this place the same as we came in. We pray this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Well, I invite you to pull out the yellow sheet in your bulletin that says sermon notes and response cards. This time, I want everybody to do it, because we're all going to use this, if not during the message, especially at the end. And while you're getting those ready, I want to start with a few words of encouragement. all of us can sing a new song to the Lord. God commands us over and over again in Scripture to sing a new song to the Lord. Three psalms begin that way: Psalm 96, 98, 149. Isaiah 42, 10, and Psalm 33, 3 reinforce that command. And then Psalm 144, 9 adds to the chorus by saying, I will sing to the Lord a new song. God commands us to do this. And God wouldn't command us to do something we're not able to do. After giving his people commands through Moses, God made this comment in Deuteronomy 30, 11. God said, now, what I am commanding you today is not too difficult for you or beyond your reach. God doesn't command us to do things we're not able to do. This applies to the command to sing a new song to the Lord. All of us can do this. Throughout Scripture, we encounter ordinary people who sing a new song to the Lord. One example is Moses and his sister Miriam. After God delivered them from slavery in Egypt, Moses sang a new song to the Lord. Miriam, his sister, chimed in and sang a new song herself to the Lord. You can find those in Exodus chapter 15. You might not think of Moses as an ordinary person, but he was when it came to music. He was a shepherd by trade. He worked with a shepherd's staff, not a musical staff. And yet, when he walked through the Red Sea and saw God's power and might, he sang a new song to the Lord. Miriam was a slave in Egypt. She likely had no access to formal education, let alone musical education. And yet, when God delivered her people, she grabbed the tambourine and sang a new song to the Lord. Another great example is Mary, the mother of Jesus. Now, you might not think of Mary as an ordinary person either, but she was just a young peasant girl. Like Miriam, she likely had no formal education, no musical education. And yet, when the angel told her that she was going to be the mother of the Savior of the world, she burst forth in a new song. While these people don't have musical expertise in common, they have something else in common. God was doing a new thing in their life. In response, they created a new song to give a fresh expression from their soul. Here's the good news for us. God is always doing a new thing in our lives. In Isaiah 43, God says, see, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. If we would just look for it, if we would just pay attention, we would see that God is always doing a new thing, making a way where there seems to be no way, bringing new life from situations that seem hopeless. I've been leading prayer groups at the police station to pray for our police and for the top concerns of our community. One of the things I've done is keep track of how God answers our prayers. I don't always do that. I often make requests to God, but I don't often record how God answers those prayers. After 7 weeks of praying together, I had an entire sheet filled with amazing new things that God had been doing in our lives. New people came to the prayer group. People in our prayer group took new steps in their faith journey. New relationships were built. New partnerships were formed between the police and faith communities to tackle issues like mental health and safety. New doors opened to share the gospel with prisoners and remind them of God's love and salvation. New initiatives were launched to help the youth in our schools deal with stress in a healthy way. It was so exciting. And the whole experience reminded me to pay attention. If we just have eyes to perceive it, we will see that God is always doing a new thing. In Lamentations 3:23, it says, "Great is God's faithfulness. His mercies begin afresh each morning." Each morning, God is always doing a new thing, seeking the lost, loving the broken, welcoming the sinner, challenging the complacent, healing hurts, forgiving sins, meeting needs, fighting injustice, strengthening community, teaching truth, restoring faith. If we open our eyes to perceive it, God is always doing a new thing. In response to the new things God is doing, we are commanded to sing a new song to the Lord. One instance of that command is Psalm 96, which we heard in our reading. The Psalms are a collection of songs in the Bible. This particular one was written by David after God did something new in his nation. The Ark of the Covenant had been stolen from the people of Israel. The Ark represented God's presence and promises among his people. With God's help, David led Israel to defeat their enemies, recover the ark, and bring it back to the capital city of Jerusalem. Afterwards, David sang a new song to the Lord. Now, David did have some musical experience in his background. He had a little bit of an edge on us. But in his song, he commands all the people of the earth to sing a new song. All the people. In fact, he commands all the earth, even inanimate objects like the sea and the fields and the trees. David understood you don't have to have musical expertise to sing a new song to the Lord. We have all been created in the image of our creative God. Therefore, we all have capacity to sing a new song to the Lord. We all can do this. More than that, we all need to do this. God gives us this command not so much for God's benefit, but for our own. God doesn't need our songs. We need this faith practice. Practice is an essential part of getting better at anything. Right? Whether you're learning to ride a bike or type or play an instrument, practice is essential for growth. I've told you, my son is learning to play the cello. And at first, it felt difficult and awkward for him to play this big instrument. He didn't think he could do it. He wanted to give up. And we just kept encouraging him, keep practicing. And little by little, he gained skill and confidence as a player. You may not have thought about it this way before, but practice is essential for spiritual growth. Living a life of faith in a sinful, broken world is not easy. And it's not natural for us. Singing a new song to the Lord helps us practice two very important elements of faith that don't always come naturally for us. The first is praying. Prayer is essentially communicating with God. It's expressing what's going on in our soul to God. As a pastor, I hear that prayer is a challenge for many people. Like playing a cello for the first time, it can feel difficult and awkward. But David says, sing to the Lord a new song, because it'll help you practice praying. It'll help you practice communicating with God. It'll help you practice expressing what's in your soul to God. Sometimes this is an expression of praise. Think about the hymn, How Great Thou Art. Verse 1, the author writes, O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the works thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul. God made the world and all the wonders in it. Every day we live on this incredible planet. Every day we live in this awe-inspiring universe. It's a day for us to sing a new song of praise to our God and Creator. And then there's Jesus. In verse 3 of How Great Thou Art, the author writes, And when I think of God, his Son not sparing, sent him to die, I scarce can take it in, that on the cross, my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin. The very thought of Jesus, how he loves us in spite of our failings, how he took the punishment for our sins so we could be forgiven and have a fresh start with God. How he died and rose again so that we could have the hope of eternal life. The very thought of Jesus should cause us to break forth in a new song of praise every day. Our songs, however, don't always have to be an expression of praise. We can express to God whatever is going on in our soul. If you read through the Psalms, they express every human emotion to God. There are Psalms expressing sorrow. Psalm 31:10, I am dying from grief. My years are shortened by sadness. Sin has drained my strength. I'm wasting away from within. Whew. There are Psalms expressing doubt and anger. Psalm 13:1, O Lord, how long will you forget me? Forever? How long will you look the other way? There are Psalms expressing despair. Psalm 4:1, free me from my troubles. Have mercy on me and hear my prayer. There are Psalms expressing remorse. Psalm 51:2, wash me clean from my guilt. Purify me from my sin. There are Psalms of fear and worry. Psalm 55:5, fear and trembling overwhelm me. I cannot stop shaking. We are free to express whatever is going on in our soul to God. God wants to have a real relationship with us. Real relationships involve real emotions and real conversations. Singing a new song to the Lord helps us practice praying. It helps us practice communicating with God and expressing what's going on in our soul to God. Don't worry about God. God can handle whatever we say to him. God's a big God. Our words are not going to shake him. Instead, God's going to sing his own song back to us. In Zephaniah 3:17, it says, The Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. He will take great delight in you. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. It's kind of neat to think about God singing over us. I imagine God's song like the radio signals we can't see or hear until we tune in to the right station. When we sing a new song to the Lord, we tune our antenna to the God who's already singing over us. And in that song, God meets us wherever we're at and reminds us of his continual presence, his mighty power, his unfailing love. Over the years, I've written new songs to God that express a variety of emotions. For example, I've written songs expressing joy. So wake us up. But I've also sang a new song that shares concerns and questions that I have to God. Why are there people living in hunger? Why are there babies fighting disease? Why is love so easily spoken and broken? Why are there families out on the streets? I've got a question, I need an answer. Looking to you for the truth. Lord, won't you show me your will? Show me your ways so I can believe in you. And it never fails. When I sing to the Lord a new song, God sings back. God meets me where I'm at, reminding me of his continual presence, his mighty power, his unfailing love. Singing to the Lord a new song, it helps us practice praying. Another thing that it helps us practice is proclaiming. In Psalm 96, David says, "Sing to the Lord, praise his name, proclaim his salvation day after day." As people of faith, it's our responsibility to share the good news of Jesus' salvation with others. Just like with praying, though, proclaiming can feel difficult and awkward. We might not know what to say or how to say it. Singing to the Lord a new song helps us practice sharing our faith and expressing what's going on in our soul to other people. A while back, I wrote a song about how I've been chasing different idols in my life. Things that I thought would give me meaning, purpose, and fulfillment. But ultimately, they just led to more emptiness and brokenness. And I see so many people in our world chasing false gods, false idols. Some of the idols that we chase today include money, power, fame, prestige, pleasure, drugs, alcohol. And a quick scan of the news reveals that these idols, they don't satisfy. But they quickly crumble like a foundation of sand beneath our feet. And I've been down that road. I've chased idols and come to a realization that the very thing I need most is only found in Jesus. And I wrote a song about that. Not long after, I was meeting with a young man who was dealing with addiction to drugs. And I so desperately wanted to proclaim the good news to him, but I was struggling to find the right words. Midway into our conversation, I said, I know this might sound funny, but could I sing a song for you that I just wrote? He kind of looked at me a little weird, and he's like, no, that's okay. And so I sang the song for him, and here's a snippet of the song. I've gone into the darkest places to fill the void inside. But all along my heart was restless to rest in Jesus Christ. Now I know that your love is better than anything else I could find. So I open my heart and I'm finding it's your love that makes me, your love that makes me whole, whole. It's your love that makes me, your love that makes me whole. Like nothing else, you meet the deepest needs I have. You heal my heart, now I will tell that Jesus, it's your love that makes me, your love that makes me whole. And that song, it led to a wonderful conversation, which ended in that young man making a decision to put his trust in Jesus as his Lord and Savior. Praise God. And with God's help, he was able to take new steps on a path of recovery. Singing a new song to the Lord helps us practice sharing our faith, expressing what's going on in our soul to others. And the more we practice, the more natural it becomes to speak words and to live lives that proclaim the good news of God's salvation to a world that so desperately needs it. I told you earlier that the sermon would end with a challenge for you to write a new song to the Lord. Before I give you time to do that, I want to just share four quick tips that I hope will help you. First, your song doesn't have to have music. In our hymnal, there are many of our hymns where the text was written by one person and the tune by another. You don't need a melody to write a song to the Lord. Second, your song doesn't have to rhyme. The psalm we read didn't rhyme. Many of the psalms have neat poetic features, but some of them are just raw expressions from the soul. Third, your song doesn't have to be long. Some of the psalms are just a few lines. And fourth, your song doesn't have to be ready for publishing. I've been mentioning the hymn, How Great Thou Art. This song was originally a poem written by a former Swedish sailor. The poem didn't catch on at first. It took years before somebody paired his poem with a traditional Swedish melody. Decades passed after that until an English missionary heard the song, translated it into English, tweaking some of the words and the musical arrangements and calling it How Great Thou Art. More decades passed until the song got picked up by Billy Graham's crusade and then became a global sensation. Your song doesn't have to have music, doesn't have to rhyme, doesn't have to be long, doesn't have to be ready for publishing. All it needs is for you to give a fresh expression from your soul. On the back of the sermon notes, I put a couple of prompts to help jumpstart your songwriting. The first two prompts help us practice praying. The most pressing thing on my heart right now is dot, dot, dot. If I could say something to God right now, I would say dot, dot, dot. The second two prompts help us practice proclaiming. The most memorable moments in my faith journey have been dot, dot, dot. The thing I most want to tell others about God is dot, dot, dot. Try not to overthink it. While the music plays, write a new song to the Lord. you pray with me? God, we give thanks that you are always doing a new thing in our lives. Help us pay attention. Give us eyes to see those new things that you are doing. God, I pray if there's anybody here today who's never before opened their heart and allowed you to do a new thing in their life, God, I pray that today, August 12th, they would take the opportunity to do that, to receive your free gifts of forgiveness and welcome your life-saving, life-changing Spirit into their life. Through the inspiration of your Spirit, help us sing a new song. Give a fresh expression from our soul, both of prayer and proclamation for a world that desperately needs you. We pray this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. David challenged us to sing a new song every day. I want to extend that challenge for our congregation. Just for this week, write a new song to God every day. You can use the prompts on your sheet or just a fresh expression from your soul. And I would love to hear your new songs and share mine with you. So if you put your name and your email on the bottom of your response card, I promise I will pray for you and write back to you. Let's have some fun this week with the challenge and see if it doesn't help us get better at praying and proclaiming. And now I invite us to join our voices and sing together, How Great Thou Art.